जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारे, यमुना तीरावन चारे, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग। नारायण नमस्कृत्य नरम चैव नरोत्तमम देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 7 व्हाट प्रह्लाद महाराज लर्न्ड इन द वूम्ब टेक्स्ट 1। श्रीनारद उवाच एवं दैत्यसुते पृष्टो महाभागवतो सुरः उवाच तान् स्मयामान स्मरण मद अनुभाषितम् एवं दैत्यसुते पृष्टो महाभागवतो सुरः उवाच तान् स्मयमानः स्मरण मद अनुभाषितम् एवं दैत्यसुते पृष्टो महाभागवतो सुरः उवाच तान् स्मयमान स्मरण मद अनुभाषितम्। Ladies, please. श्री नारद उवाच। द ग्रेट सेंट नारद मुनि सेड एवं दस दैत्य सुतये बाय द सन्स ऑफ द डीमन्स पृष्ठ बीइंग क्वेश्चन्ड महाभागवतः द एक्सॉल्टेड डिवोटी ऑफ द लॉर्ड Asuraha, born in a family of demons. Uvacha, spoke. Tan, unto them, the sons of the demons. Smayamanaha, smiling. Smaran, remembering. Mat anubhashitam, what was spoken by me. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Narada Muni said, although Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of asuras, he was the greatest of all devotees. Having thus been questioned by his class friends, the sons of the asuras, he remembered the words spoken to him by me and replied to his friends as follows. Purport. When he was in the womb of his mother, Prahlad Maharaj listened to the words of Narada Muni. One cannot imagine how the baby in the embryo could hear Narada. But this is spiritual life. Progress in spiritual life cannot be obstructed by any material condition. This is called ahaituki apratihata. Reception of spiritual knowledge is never checked by any material condition. Thus, Prahlad Maharaj, from his very childhood, spoke spiritual knowledge to his class friends, and certainly it was effective, although all of them were children. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chaksurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna, I wish all of you a very, very happy and wonderful Balaram Jayanti. The appearance day of Lord Balaram. So his name Bala and Rama. Bala means strength. So he's the source of not just physical strength, but spiritual strength. And we all know, to whatever degree we have realized, maybe mustard seed degree or pea size degree or a soccer ball size, doesn't matter, we all have a little bit of understanding that without spiritual strength we cannot do anything. One may have physical strength and still they cannot do anything. But spiritual strength is something that is required to serve Krishna. And he is the source of all that spiritual strength by which one can serve Krishna, because that's what he does, Lord Balaram. And Rama is, the meaning is that he is the source of all happiness. So it also means that he is very happy in engaging all his strength in serving Krishna. There are many sources of happiness, so-called happiness in this material world. But Lord Balaram shows us by his example that the only happiness is in engaging our abilities, whatever that ability is. Some can do this, some can do that, some can do something else. Whatever that is can be used and should be used in Krishna's service. Then it is the source of real happiness. And if we study Srimad Bhagavatam or Krishna book, where Lord Balaram's pastimes are given, you'll notice that Lord Balaram is, in one sense, not in a bad way, but in one sense, very unpredictable. And so, one may wonder, why is he like that? It is said that he is the original spiritual master, because he is the first expansion from Krishna, and he is the one who teaches. In fact, his expansion is for serving Krishna. Krishna is called Bhagavan, and Balaram is called Sevaka Bhagavan. He is the personality of Godhead, who is the manifestation of service to Krishna. And so when he expands as Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Lord Narayan, all of that, Lord Balaram is simply serving the desire of Krishna. And he is the original spiritual master. So one thing is, you can never tell what the spiritual master, or how the spiritual master will respond to something that we may say or do. Some people say, I think I know a pattern. And there are many wonderful pastimes of Srila Prabhupada where it's described, there's a statement that one cannot predicate the mind of the guru. You can never tell, because he's so guided by Krishna. Each time it can be very different, and one may wonder, what's going on? I'll tell you one little sweet pastime of Srila Prabhupada. This is a little humorous, but you get the idea. There was a devotee, originally from Germany, by the name Hans Kari, who, when he got initiated, got the name Hamsaduta Adhikari. So Prabhupada kept the Hans and the Kari and put his, the rest of his name in between, Hamsaduta Adhikari. Until that time, no one had heard the name Hamsaduta. Hamsaduta, anyway, I won't give up. So he said, whoa, what name is that? So he said, he'll ask Srila Prabhupada. So he went to Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, who is Hamsaduta? And Prabhupada said, you are. So that didn't work out, so he wanted to try to do it a little differently. And then he asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, where in the Bhagavatam, where can I find this name Hamsaduta? And Prabhupada said, in the Bhagavatam. Which means 18,000 verses, read everything and figure it out. So then he tried again. Srila Prabhupada, who is Hamsaduta? Prabhupada said, you are. And so this way Prabhupada never gave him the answer. The idea was, he was trying to somehow get an answer out of Prabhupada in a particular way, and Prabhupada was not willing to give an answer. There's another story of shoes of Srila Prabhupada. There were two devotees. They're very special devotees in New Vrindavan. They were very good friends, and they came to Krishna consciousness together. And so they were always together in the ashram, and they would inspire each other. So when they first saw the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, you've seen the dust cover, right? The beautiful spiritual sky. And so they looked through the cover, and both of them studied it very carefully, and they pointed to one particular planet that they really liked. So they didn't know what that was. So they went to the other devotees and said, in this whole cover, the blue cover with Goloka Vrindavan in between and all the beautiful planets, we like this one. What is this planet? And the devotee said, that's the material world. That little cloud. So these were this kind of devotees. They're very, very, I guess, new and, you know. So they heard that any Mahaprasad you can get from the spiritual master is very special. So one of these two friends, one of the devotees, he saw these shoes of Srila Prabhupada, and he saw them that they were new shoes. So he said, I know where these shoes are sold, and these are new. So I have an idea. I'll buy exactly another pair that looks like this pair. And tomorrow, I'll switch this pair with Prabhupada's shoes. That way, Prabhupada wouldn't know because they're new, right? Once you've used the shoes well, you've broken into them, you know. When you put your foot into someone else's shoe, you can tell it's not mine. Or when you put your foot in your shoe, you know, it's mine, right? So this is new, and when it is new, you're still getting used to it. I said, these are new shoes. I can trick Srila Prabhupada. So as the plan was, Prabhupada would come, leave his shoes, go up the stairs into his room. So as soon as Prabhupada left his shoes there, very, very deftly, he switched the pair. And he got this Mahaprasad. And he didn't tell anyone. Because, you know, once you tell someone how it is in the Hare Krishna movement, everyone knows. So he didn't tell anyone. So later Prabhupada came down, wore his shoes, went for a walk, came back, left his shoes there, went up to his room. And he said, it worked. It worked so well. Now I have these Mahaprasad shoes. 2 minutes later, Prabhupada's assistant came out and said to this devotee, Srila Prabhupada has a message for you. I said, wow, what? Prabhupada said, thank you for the shoes. And next time, don't play with the spiritual master. So it's like, how did he know? So this way, as the spiritual master is guided by Krishna in a very, very special sort of way. So our prayer, among all other prayers that we may offer, is to Lord Balaram, who may give us the strength, despite our physical limitations, or worse than that is the mental limitations, we put on ourselves for some reason, and it stops us from deriving the strength necessary to serve Krishna. And it's not just serve means, you know, necessarily physically do something, which is also part of service, but serving in our mind or serving by our words, we cause the obstacles, or we don't find sufficient strength in appreciating others or in doing something for others or for Krishna or thinking good thoughts about other devotees and about all living entities and about Krishna, etc. We cause those blocks. And so we pray to Lord Balaram so we may overcome those blocks. We may overcome those obstacles so that we can serve Krishna without any hindrance. And that's connected to today's purport. You'll see how. So this is the seventh chapter of the seventh canto. Since we're beginning the chapter, I'll read you the summary so you know what's coming up. In this chapter, to dissipate the doubts of his class friends, the sons of the demons, Prahlad Maharaj states how, within the womb of his mother, he had heard from the mouth of Narada Muni, who had instructed him in Bhagavad Dharma. When Hiranyakashipu left his kingdom and went to the mountain known as Mandarachala to execute severe austerities, all the demons scattered. Hiranyakashipu's wife, Kayadhu, was pregnant at that time, and the demigods, mistakenly thinking that she carried another demon in her womb, arrested her. Their plan was that as soon as the child took birth, they would kill him. While they were taking Kayadhu to the heavenly planets, they met Narada Muni, who stopped them from taking her away and took her to his ashram until Hiranyakashipu's return. In Narada Muni's ashram, Kayadhu prayed for the protection of the baby in her womb, and Narada Muni reassured her and gave her instructions on spiritual knowledge. Taking advantage of those instructions, Prahlad Maharaj, although a small baby within the womb, listened very carefully. The spirit soul is always apart from the material body. There is no change in the spiritual form of the living entity. Any person above the bodily conception of life is pure and can receive transcendental knowledge. This transcendental knowledge is devotional service, and Prahlad Maharaj, while living in the womb of his mother, received instructions in devotional service from Narada Muni. Any person engaged in the service of the Lord through the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master is immediately liberated, and being free from the clutches of Maya, he is relieved of all ignorance and material desires. The duty of everyone is to take shelter of the Supreme Lord and thus become free from all material desires. Regardless of the material condition in which one is situated, one can achieve this perfection. Devotional service is not dependent on material activities of austerity, penance, mystic yoga, or piety. Even without such assets, one can achieve devotional service through the mercy of a pure devotee. So this chapter begins with Prahlad responding to his friends who asked him in the previous chapter that, "Hey Prahlad, we're all little children here, and the only teachers we have met is Shanda and Amarka. We haven't seen anyone else. How do you know all this knowledge about devotional service, bhakti to Vishnu? How do you know? We have not seen anyone else." What's interesting is Hiranyakashipu had protected all his kingdom and demon children from the influence of any devotee, because he knew that as soon as a Vaishnava comes in contact with these children, he will talk about Vishnu. And he didn't want that. He only wanted his children and all the other children to be systematically educated in only one thing: how to enjoy one's senses in unlimited ways. And for me, for that, you know, whether it is earning a lot of money or indulging in wonderful pleasures or buying all these different material assets, however, or with all these angelic women, it didn't matter. He had to train them in enjoying life. And he didn't want the contact with the devotee because devotees will speak opposite to that. Don't enjoy life. Serve Krishna. Right? For how many lifetimes you have enjoyed this one lifetime you give to Krishna, etc. So devotees are very discouraging of our materialistic plans. True? Yeah. And so he didn't want any discouragement. He wanted only encouragement for his children. So he had Shanda and Amarika as the only teachers. No one else was allowed. Yet, Prahlad was speaking prolifically about Vishnu Bhakti. So the children asked, "Where did you learn this? How come?" And so he said, "I learnt it from Srila Narada Muni." And they're like, "You learn it from Narada? We've never seen him here. How'd you learn it from him?" So is the first verse, he says, "Evam daitya sutai prashtaha." Being thus questioned by the sons of the demons, Mahabhagavata Asuraha, although he was born in the family of Asura, quite literally means demonic mentality. And demonic mentality, the other day we were hearing, it doesn't mean that the demons have sharp fangs, copper color eyes, a tail, two horns, you know, the little devil that walks around, nothing like that. They're actually very good looking. In fact, Harinakashipu is very handsome, very, very handsome, very buffed, you know, muscular like anything, because Lord Brahma sprinkled very special water on him. So he was very good looking. But the issue is, demoniac means the mentality is that instead of Krishna enjoying something, I should enjoy it. This is demoniac mentality. Demoniac mentality challenges the presence or existence of Krishna. It is an exploitative mentality. Ishwaroham aham bhogi siddhoham balavan sukhi. I am the controller, I am the master, I am the enjoyer of anything that I see. Siddha, I am perfected, there is nothing wrong with me. I am perfect, everyone else is wrong. And balavan, I have great strength, whatever I desire, I know how to get it. Sukhi, I am very happy because I have all these abilities. If you observe 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna identifies the divine and demoniac mentality, out of the 24 or 25 verses in the chapter, first three verses are dedicated to the divine mentality. And a whopping 21 or 22 verses are dedicated to the demoniac mentality. Why do you think so? Mikey? Maybe what? Okay. Yeah, Rasika Manjari. Acharya? Yes, in the second chapter is described. In the 13th chapter, he gives the 20 qualities of knowledge. And then in this chapter, very quickly in three verses and he says, I've given it to you in detail. And the rest is elaborates on the demonic qualities is because that's mostly our frame of reference. When we hear necessarily things like non-violent, tolerant, peaceful, humble, we say, well, I don't know what that means. I can't relate to it. But when things happen that are very much that we can relate to, either in ourselves or definitely when we see others, it's easier to see it in others, right? Greed or lust or anger or any of the demonic control, we say, oh yeah, I know. I know what that looks like for myself and for others. So then, Prahlad Maharaji says, Uvacha tan smayamanaha. So he spoke to them with a smile on his face. Why is he smiling? Guess, why is Prahlad Maharaj smiling? Well, they're inquiring, but more particularly, Smaran Mad Anubhashitam. He's particularly remembering Narada Muni and Narada Muni's instructions. It is so the parallel is that the instructions of the spiritual master or the memory or the remembrance of the spiritual master should bring a smile on one's face. Because that person is the person that is our real well-wisher. So he said, Uvacha tan smayamana smaran mad anubhashita. So Prahlad remembered all that he had heard from Narada Muni. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, progress in spiritual life cannot be obstructed by any material condition. So going back to praying to Lord Balaram, we find that our progress in spiritual life is obstructed by material condition. Physically, if we are ill or tired or something, or mentally, if we are dealing with something sad or we are angry about something or upset about something or preoccupied about something else, we find that these cause our spiritual practices to be obstructed. But Prabhupada saying, cannot be. And the reason they are obstructed is because we tend to fall into we tend to fall into a very severe malady called the bodily conception of life. Actually, we don't fall into it. We are always operating there. Once in a while, we get a little spiritual glimpse. Once Srila Prabhupada, it was in Bombay, 1972, I think. There was a big Pandal program. A lot of guests were sitting there. Prabhupada was on stage and some of his disciples were on stage. And Prabhupada turned to Giriraj Maharaj, at that time Brahmachari, and said, you should speak. Wow, imagine that. Speaking something on philosophy with Srila Prabhupada sitting there. And so he mustered some courage because that's the order of the guru. And he started speaking. And one of the things he said is, and sometimes we fall into Maya. And Prabhupada cut him off. Sometimes you're always in Maya. Sometimes you're Krishna conscious. So our default condition is that we identify with the body. The pain or the happiness or whatever, the range of things that are body and mind related. And those cause obstructions in devotional life or in devotional service. And the request or the mandate is to learn to systematically progress out of that condition and try to operate as the servant of Krishna. Because that is our true identity. And somehow or the other, we have to remind ourselves especially when there are situations where our devotional service is being obstructed, either physically or mentally. We have to overcome that by remembering that we are a servant of Krishna. And that for us to remember that and act on it, we need Lord Balaram's mercy. Therefore, we always pray to Lord Balaram or Nitai, please help me serve Lord Chaitanya. Please help me serve Krishna. And it works wonders. Because Balaram is very eager to give anything and everything to a person who's eager to serve Krishna. So here, Prabhupada says, Ahaituki apratihata. Ahaituki means that which does not have a material cause. We don't, although we may have begun our devotional service because there was a material cause. I was in distress, or I needed some place to stay, or I needed, I was economically or financially in some distressful condition. I was told if you come to Krishna and pray to him, your distress might be relieved. I was just curious whatever who these people are. You know, we come to devotional service. When I first saw the devotees, I was in Juhu temple. They were all dancing. Apparently it was Gopal Krishna Maharaj's Vyasa Puja. I had no idea what that meant. All I saw was a bunch of brahmacharis with seekers jumping up and down, and I thought they were crazy. It's totally crazy. And when I came here, all the devotees were dancing on Sunday feast time. I used to stand in that far corner under Surya Dev and Kunti Devi's picture. I would stand there, and they would all be dancing here. It's not for me. And one day, one devotee just said, come dance with us. And before I knew, it was something that was very joyful to do. So there's some cause for bhakti. Whatever that cause is, each one of us has a different reason why we came to devotional service. But ahaituki means there is no material cause for starting or stopping or slowing down. There shouldn't be. And apratihata, hata means to obstruct or to end. Apratihata means something that is not stopped. So devotional service is not materially caused and not obstructed by any material situation. And to be able to live like that, we need Lord Balaram's mercy. And so Prabhupada says, Prahlad Maharaj from his very childhood spoke spiritual knowledge to his friends, and certainly it was effective, although all of them were children. I'll read a couple of more verses because the pastime continues from here, and there are, some of them don't have purports. Text 2. Prahlad Maharaj said, when our father Hiranyakashipu went to Mandarachala mountain to execute severe austerities, in his absence the demigods, headed by King Indra, made a severe attempt to subdue all the demons in warfare. There's a famous saying, when the cat is not around, the mice begin to play. So when Hiranyakashipu was not around, King Indra and all the demigods thought, perfect timing. He's standing on the tip of his toes with his arms raised and has stopped his breathing because he wants something. This is the best time to attack the demons. Alas, as a serpent is eaten by small ants, so the troublesome Hiranyakashipu, who always inflicted miseries upon all types of people, has now been defeated by the reactions of his own sinful activities. Saying this, the demigods, headed by King Indra, arranged to fight the demons. When the great leaders of the demons, who were being killed one after another, saw the unprecedented exertion of the demigods in fighting, they began to flee, scattering themselves in all directions. Simply to protect their lives, they hastily fled from their homes, wives, children, animals, and household paraphernalia. Paying no heed to all these, the demons simply fled. The victorious demigods plundered the palace of Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, and destroyed everything within it. Then Indra, king of heaven, arrested my mother, the queen. As she was being led away, crying in fear like a kurari captured by a vulture, the great sage Narada, who at that time had no engagement, appeared on the scene and saw her in that condition. Very interesting. Narada Muni had a little downtime apparently. He was just chilling in the ashram. Narada Muni said, "O Indra, king of the demigods, this woman is certainly sinless. You should not drag her off in this merciless way. O greatly fortunate one, this chaste woman is the wife of another. You must immediately release her." King Indra said, "In the womb of this woman, the wife of the demon Hiranyakashipu, is the seed of that great demon. Therefore, let her remain in our custody until her child is delivered, and then we shall release her." Purport: Indra, the king of heaven, decided to arrest Prahlad Maharaja's mother because he thought that another demon, another Hiranyakashipu, was within her womb. The best course, he thought, was to kill the child when the child was born, and then the woman could be released. Something very interesting is Indra is not into abortion. He waited till the child would be delivered, and then, if necessary, he said, "I'll kill the child." Diti's womb. Very good question. When Diti was pregnant, because she wanted someone to be born who would kill Indra, Indra entered her womb and cut her womb into 49 parts. What did I say? Embryo, sorry, not a womb. Cut the embryo into 49 parts. And later, 49 of those Agni Devatas were born. So part of it is, these 49 had to be born. So Indra was used as an instrument. That they didn't die though. Interesting is that none of them died. They were all born. Indra was used as the instrument for these 49 to manifest. Okay. Any questions, comments so far? Okay, continuing. Text 10. Narada Muni replied, "The child within this woman's womb is faultless and sinless. Indeed, he is a great devotee, a powerful servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, you will not be able to kill him." Purport: There have been many instances in which demons or non-devotees have attempted to kill a devotee, but they have never been able to destroy a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord promises in Bhagavad Gita 9:31, "Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhaktah pranashyati." This is a declaration by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his devotee cannot be killed by demons. Prahlad Maharaj is the vivid example of the truth of this promise. Narada Muni told the king of heaven, "It would be impossible for you to kill the child, even though you are demigods, and certainly it would be impossible for others." So the demons can never kill a devotee. What to speak, even if the demigods tried, it won't work. Especially in this case, because he's a very, very special devotee of the Lord, and Indra's attempts would not work. So are there other examples you can think of? Let's start from scripture, where certain devotees were attacked or tempted to be killed, but they were not successful. The Pandavas were persecuted by Duryodhan in many, many different ways. Nothing happened. Ambarish Maharaj, very good. There's no demon, fiery demon, but the curse was by Durvasa Muni. Still nothing happened. Durvasa Muni plucked a lock of hair, banged it to the ground, and a huge demon came out of it. And nothing happened to Ambarish Maharaj. You gave an example? Oh, you said Ambarish, sorry, I didn't hear. Yeah. Haridas Thakur, he was cursed or sentenced by the Qazi to be beaten in 22 marketplaces. And it's described that Haridas Thakur did not even have a little scar or scratch on his back. Parikshit Maharaj was killed though. Okay. There's a reason. In the womb of Uttara, when Ashwatthama released this Brahmastra, he said that Parikshit Maharaj was about to be charred completely. And immediately Lord Vishnu, or Krishna was standing there, protected the embryo. And therefore one of his names is Vishnu Ratha, one who's protected by Lord Vishnu. Any other? Yeah, the residents of Vrindavan, when Indra, again here, tried to kill all of them because they would not give him his share of the or do the sacrifice for him. Yeah, nice examples. Yes, Prahlad, last one. Sita Devi and Ravana. Well, he says, attempted to kill a devotee. So Ravana did not kill Sita Devi. He said he would have her for breakfast if she did not decide to marry him. If she had decided that she will not marry him, he would have her for breakfast. Ravana was cursed by Vedavati. Don't get me into the Ramayana mode, but Ravana was cursed by Vedavati. Vedavati, this is before the Ramayana starts. Vedavati was a very young, very good-looking young lady who had spent her entire youthhood in the forest meditating on Lord Vishnu. And Ravana was flying in his Pushpaka Vimana, flower airplane. And his eyes were always hungry and lusty for good-looking women. And so as he scanned, he saw her. And by the dint of her austerity, she was very, very effulgent. So he decided that he should defile her. And when he attempted to, she cursed him. By the power of her austerity, she cursed him. If you ever force yourself on a woman one more time, she will be the cause of your death. So when he kidnapped Sita Devi, he used to torment her for a whole year. He tormented her so that she would acquiesce and she would agree to become his wife. He could not force himself on her. Okay. Any other question? Comment? Okay? Alright. Festival crowd. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. It's a fasting crowd. Yes, cut up and then...